Hi, everybody. Thank you for your support as always. The NARCCon podcast is now offering a membership only subscription of the price of a cup of coffee per month for all new and some of the old podcasts going into the membership section. Please join us if you'd like more of this content. We would love to see you there. And to remind you, should you wish to avail of the free content, it is available over on YouTube in both video and podcast form. God bless everyone. Take care, and I hope you enjoy the content that's to come. Hello, everyone, and you're so very welcome to our channel, NARCCon. There's a beautiful light coming into the room today, so I think it's pretty appropriate to do this podcast on spirituality eventually, as promised. And it's titled, Spiritual Light Will Always Destroy the Darkness of a Narcissist, Dancing with a Devil. So I'm going to take this spiritual aspect of a human being and how that will always overcome when we stay in our spirituality, our strive for a spiritual existence, will always defeat, destroy, and protect us against the darkness of the cruelty of an individual, another human being, who has gone over to the dark side and who practices things like hate, cruelty, deceit, chaos, and the destruction of all that is good and morality in the world. When they are more balanced on that side and they're living their lives in that vein, if we remain in our integrity, and it is very difficult at different parts of a relationship with a narcissist to do so. In fact, during the relationship with the narcissist, and I'm going to go through it step by step, I've made some notes to which I will refer to try and keep me on track. During the relationship with the narcissist, and sometimes when we're battling a smear campaign, if we give in to our own narcissism, which we all have, we just try to keep it in a healthy side of, or a healthy balance, which we all have, then the narcissist has the upper hand because they're the best at the devilish ways. They're the best in the darkness. So if we go into hell to fight the narcissist is going to win because they know the roads, they know the barriers, they know the traps, they know how to fight in a dark manner. But if we remain in our spirituality, and we stay in the light, they cannot extinguish that. And indeed, it hurts them to come after us too much when we're in that state. So let me explain. Initially in a relationship, particularly in the intimate relationship, but also with friends or in a workplace, the narcissist will attract you in with ideals, actually. They'll attract you in with the perception of a very light experience. And I'm talking about using love as a currency and portraying an idyllic existence with them. Should we join with them, we can follow our ideals, we can help them, we can grow with them, we can find our ideal love, and we can live a wonderful life. So we're actually drawn in by the light within ourselves, and the narcissist knows that. They can see that. They can see, and again, nobody is perfect, so I'm not saying this is we're all right and they're all wrong. I'm just saying this is the dynamic and the interaction if you are with a narcissist and you're a normal enough human being who believes in good and is not a destructive individual. So you can see how easily we do get drawn into these idyllic relationships presented to represent the best of ourselves. And indeed, the narcissistic relationship, particularly if you have a victim narcissist that's, you know, dragging you into, not dragging you in, but enticing you into the relationship, or you have a female narcissist allowing you to be the hero of her and the situation and making you feel the best version of yourself, it is highly intoxicating to be with a narcissist in that respect. So you're feeling that you're living in your ideal self in an ideal situation. That's the way they hook. That's the narcissistic hook initially. The narcissist then tries to, once they have you trusting them, tries to grow your ego function. In other words, they try and take you away from the idealistic love idea and get you materialized, is the best thing I can say. Get you to value, and you say, well, how would you let anybody just make, you know, just change who you are and your perception and your values? You know, if someone did that to me, I wouldn't let them do that. This is something that happens very succinctly, very undercover, gradually, subtly, and alongside a whole host of other manipulations, like isolation, like triangulation, like causing chaos, like using a push-pull technique of, I love you, I don't love you, I love you, I don't love you, do this for me and I love you, do that for me and I love you, if you do that, I won't love you. I'm sure anyone that's been in one of these chaotic relationships will know how easily it is to be so confused and to be so in your ego that the narcissist is promoting and allowing you to, and specifically allowing you to build up your want of vacations, your let's get a big house together, let's have this, let's do that, and life will be so much better. If you actually go back to the relationship and look at what the narcissist started to drive in the relationship, I'm quite sure, unless you had a holy roller narcissist, I'm quite sure that it was a different life to the life you would normally lead, that you were doing things that were more social status wise than you would have, say, done, like going for walks on your own, or, you know, looking at your spirituality, helping somebody else maybe, or spending time with family. It was more becoming more about pleasure and gain, which is what the narcissist is all about. It's literally, the narcissist is about black and white thinking, superiority, getting, not giving, only giving to get. And I think bestiality is a good word. They delve into cruelty and bestiality. Narcissism is very low down on the enlightenment function. I think it's at the very base of where a human being will go. It's the give, get. It's very basic. It's not taking in any kind of existentialism, any spirituality, not asking questions as to how can I grow. It's all about how can I get. So that's what you're beginning to deal with, and that's where the narcissist is bringing you in the journey of the relationship. So they're attempting to bring you from any kind of spirituality into an unhealthy ego function. And there are two types of ego function, in my opinion. There is ego that we need, that healthy narcissism that we need to survive, to drive us forward, to follow our ambitions through, you know, to actually go out there and live in the world. And then there's the other side of the ego that just wants to get and will do anything to get, will destroy to get, will steal to get, will kill to get. The bad ego function that worships all worldly goods and that has no empathy for others in the quest for self-fulfillment and self-aggrandizement. So the next stage is with the growth, or the, how can I say, with the support of the growth of your unhealthy ego function, bringing you more in line with what the narcissist is actually about and away from the ideal that you fell for initially of your ideal love and goodness and growth and prosperity in the relationship. At the same time, they're destroying the spiritual aspects of you by critiquing the uselessness of charity, the uselessness of you spending time with somebody else, telling you that person's not going to appreciate it, or you, that you're a fool for doing so, and that you actually don't love the narcissist enough because you're spending so much time away from them. But this is all going on a day-to-day basis and is incrementally destructive to you as an individual and to your spiritual light over a period of time. So let's get to the next step. The next step is the destruction of your healthy ego. And this is crucial, in my opinion, to really decimate someone in a relationship with the narcissist. And it's a kind of a do or die function. The narcissist will attempt to criticize your healthy ego functions that make you look out for yourself, that suggest to you that you need to get your own needs met in a healthy way, you know, not by destroying somebody else, but that just you as a spiritual person, as a human being, don't deserve to be treated really badly. You deserve to be treated and to treat yourself with respect. And the narcissist focuses on you being too demanding, too controlling, too greedy in the projection of their self onto you. So you become small in the relationship in order to maintain peace and in order to achieve the initial goal of the love and the prosperity and the growth of you as a couple together. I'm just taking the intimate relationship as a good example. I don't think I'm impressing Remy too much. He's snoring away there in the background. Okay. So the ego validation. Yeah. So they then get you into a state. And remember, this is a very, very confusing time because you're kept on an emotional roller coaster at this point in the relationship. They're building up your bad ego functions, your materialistic side and all of those kind of goals. They're denying your spirituality. They're saying that you're a fool for going into your spiritual self. And they're also not liking you actually asking for your own needs to be met or seeing inconsistencies in the relationship, or not liking how the narcissist is maybe treating somebody or treating an animal, not liking the bestiality in the partner that's coming through and the cruelty. So what is essentially going on then is you reach a point where you actually have to make a choice. And sometimes this is the point where people get to where they're absolutely exhausted. They have adrenal fatigue. They're getting some time away from the narcissist, or the narcissist goes away on vacation or business or whatever. And they're getting to meet some of their friends or family, or they have to go off on a business trip themselves or whatever trip they go on. They get some time away from the hypnotic, destructive and chaotic emotional roller coaster that they're on with the narcissist. They get some positive feedback. They meet somebody who treats them with a lot of respect. And the contrast to the way the narcissist treats them is immense. So leave in the comments, guys, when you remember your point where you started to get dissatisfied in the relationship with the narcissist, light bulbs went off and you began to think, this isn't what I signed up for. You get a miracle, I call it, where you begin to realize that this is just not right, that this person is just not right, and it's going too far down what you're able to accept in a relationship. and you start to give a bit of kickback. And this is when the healthy ego function starts to say, and this is why we need ego. Some people would argue that if you just remain in your spiritual self, you'll be fine. And I would say, yes, you would be. But if you were entirely in your spiritual self, you probably wouldn't have gone into or stayed in the relationship with the narcissist when you began to saw some of the other things, the other sides that the narcissist was presenting. I say you need spirituality and your healthy ego functions going on. So you're beginning to feel a renewed sense of spirituality. You're beginning to remember, and this is only tiny, guys. This is tiny. And I think I remember, you know, feeling this in the relationship that I'm not happy with the situation here. This isn't right. I'm actually being ripped off. This person couldn't possibly love me to be acting the way they're acting. And this was not without a huge amount of self-blame and self-shame and, you know, not liking myself at the time either, because I would have gone into a lot of the lower functions that the narcissist would have assisted with or approved of. And totally, we do have, we need accountability ourselves within the relationship with the narcissist when it's over. You know, we need to look at every part of the relationship. But the reason I am doing this work is because people don't know that there are people of the dark side out there, and they're in more numbers than we would probably be told or anticipate. And that this is the way the dark personality operates, because you need to be protected against this. You need, this type of individual can destroy a person in the right circumstances and when people don't know what they're dealing with. So I digress. We start to build our healthy ego function and some of our spirituality returns. And I found and do find that for some reason, when we stop and take time out to think, something happens, coincidences happen, though I don't believe in coincidences. I believe we are carried on the wings of angels out of this relationship. That's the only way I can describe it, for what you find at the end of the journey after the healing process has kicked in. So we're beginning to reject the darkness of the narcissist. We can't fully see it yet. We're still mesmerized by the whole illusion that we're living in, the movie the narcissist has created, that they're actually our ideal partner and that it's all for the good that we stay in the relationship. So we may still not want to leave the relationship. But once we start to advocate, even in a small way for ourselves, the narcissistic narcdar picks it up. And there is kickback. And sometimes that kickback is actually a discard. The narcissist, if they're having to put too much effort into controlling you, when you should be a doormat at this stage, you should be fully under control and fully functioning for that narcissist. For they've had to put a lot of effort into getting you, to buying you, to contracting you into serving them. And so we may get a discard, or we may be betrayed by the narcissist as the narcissist goes and is cheating with somebody else, or is cheating emotionally with somebody else, or is lining someone else up to move on to a relationship with. It's basically crunch time. It's basically when we hit the brick wall and the relationship is coming to a close, sometimes a very abrupt close, sometimes a very cruel close. And when I said at the beginning of the podcast that this is about spiritual light, destroying the darkness of a narcissist, the spiritual light has come back on when the healthy ego started to stand up for itself. And the narcissist wanted out of there as quick as they possibly could. This is the general way a relationship goes with a narcissist. Of course, there are variations to this. that narcissist has recognized at this point in time, and I don't think this is spoken about much, at this point in time, they know that they've tried their damnedest. They've tried their best. They've isolated you. They've triangulated you. They've tempted you. They've enticed you. They've caused total emotional and spiritual chaos in your life, so you don't know whether you're coming or you're going. Yet. Yet. The light did not flicker out. The light in you remained on, despite all of the blankets put over it, despite the walks through the darkest of forests, the dark nights of the soul the narcissist brought upon you, the telling you in words, in deeds, in energy, in collective energy, that you were a piece of dirt. The light remained on. Think about that. Just think about that. Once the narcissist knows that they've done all they possibly can to destroy you in the relationship, and you start to say, my light is still on, they're out of there. Now they'll try and destroy you from the outside as they go in the smear campaign, oftentimes, or in the divorce courts, or looking for custody of the children. But they cannot stay and face the fact that you are stronger than them. They still want to battle it, but they retreat to a place that they think they'll feel stronger. Remember, a narcissist is set up to always feel superior, to feel omnipotent, to feel godlike. So with the audacity of you thinking that you can still keep that light on, that you're actually stronger than them, that is a big, big no-no. And they will go away to regroup, to punish you, to try and attempt at a last-ditch effort to put that light out. And thus the final battle begins. And this is one of the hardest battles a person, in my opinion and experience, will ever go through in their lives. Because the outcome of this battle is you have to define yourself. You can't just go from one situation to another, oblivious and, you know, feeling without intention, basically. You have to advocate for yourself. You have to decide who you are, what you believe in, who you want to be going forward, and what's important to you in your life, and to stand by it, to stand for it, and to make that light so strong that no narcissist can ever attempt, they might attempt, but can ever dim it as far down as it was dimmed in the narcissistic relationship. Ever again. Ever again. Now, to build that strength of light after the narcissistic relationship has ended, well, that's a hell of a task. But it's a task that is the best task, the best pain initiation you will ever have in relation to spiritual growth, I think. To get to the next layer of what I would call life's enlightenment, I don't know if a person can get through it without going through the initiation ceremony of deepest, darkest personal pain, where you're finally rejected totally by somebody you gave yourself to totally. So it's like if a parent rejected you in some level when you were growing up, you managed to survive with the other parent or friends, or somehow built a defense within yourself. But this time the brick wall narcissist, as I call them, comes along and you are, to all extents and purposes, annihilated in your self-esteem, your self-belief, your life value, your own life value, your whole everything, all of your beliefs, your belief in God, your belief in everything is challenged by this pain. So this pain literally strips you down to the very foundations of who you are as a person and who you are spiritually. And it's a rebuilding process. And as they say in one of the older movies or series, I think The Bionic Man, they build you stronger and faster and better and lighter than you have ever experienced before. So the next step where the narcissist is trying to take you down is in the smear campaign of you as you are crawling. As you are crawling to survive, to just get up every day and to go about your normal routines and functions. The narcissist, unbelievably for a person who has been in your life as somebody that loves you, becomes your darkest, worst enemy out there, telling a load of lies to a load of people and sometimes actually physically doing things to make your life more difficult. Reporting you for this and that, going against you, lying about your character in the courts, you know, stalking you, harassing you, doing the worst of the worst things to you as you're in a very weakened position trying to recover from the cruelty of a discard or betrayal. And so it goes if you actually, and this it particularly relates to the title of the podcast, where spiritual light destroys the darkness of a narcissist. If you don't dance with the devil, if you decline the devil's offer to dance with them and don't go down to their standards of going around telling everyone, you know, say, I'm going to play the narcissist game. I'm going to make things up about them. I'm going to really concentrate on the narcissist. I'm going to win this one. You know, you go into your unhealthy ego functions again. You lose your spiritual aspect. Don't go down to that level. Remain above it. Use your spirituality to build into yourself. Don't become hateful, hard as it is. Don't let anger overtake you. But instead, concentrate on yourself and your life as you want it going forward, and don't play into the narcissist narrative. Once you do this, you stay on track, you stay in the light. The darkness cannot extinguish what you are becoming and what you're holding as true. The only way a narcissist's darkness can get you is, as I said at the beginning of the podcast, you go in to hell and play their games with them, because they know how to play in the dark better than anybody else. They cannot attack you in the light. It's literally like, you know, some of those zombie movies. If they go too near the light, they burn. They don't understand where that enlightenment or light comes from is the best way I can describe it. They don't want to understand. They want to reject the power of kindness, the power of patience, the power of love. They want it destroyed so that they can convince themselves that their way is the right way. But if you stay in that light, the people you will attract into your life, the people you will get help from, the energies that will carry you along to a much better place, is something you probably have to experience to believe, or have the faith of those that have gone before you in telling you this will come to you. This will come to you. Stay in the light, I promise you. It drives the narcissist crazy when you play an intelligent game while staying in the light. I'm not saying you just go off and forget about, you know, a legal battle you have to deal with. I'm saying you don't react. You don't play the narcissist games. You understand that who you are dealing with is the devil, and you understand what the devil expects you to do. And I'm not saying you can't use a bluff move, and check out some of the other podcasts. Remy definitely agrees with that. Check out some of the other podcasts on how to negotiate with a narcissist. I'm not saying don't fight them, but what I am saying is don't go into hell to fight them the way they want you to fight them. Fight intelligently. You know how predictable narcissists are. You've educated yourselves about them. So use your intelligence and your spiritual light, and that darn narcissist has not got a chance. And it will irk them to the nth degree to be ignored by you and for you not to have changed and for you to have become stronger spiritually than you have ever been in your life. That is not the outcome that the narcissist wanted. And it is not conducive to the narcissist's defense mechanism to have you walking in the light in a superior manner, because it's just not what the narcissist set out to do. So that's what I call a win. But it's not only a win against the narcissist, which becomes less important as time goes on, but it's actually making lemonade out of lemons. It's making a very bad experience into a result that becomes the best experience of your life because of the effort that you put in, because of your understanding and dealing and how you deal with a dreadful situation. That's it for now, guys. We will see you again very soon. Please take great care of yourselves, as myself and himself will trot out now for a walk. If you can, to support us, if you can like, share, subscribe or comment, that helps so much to keep us doing what we're doing here now, to keep us on YouTube, basically. So thank you very much for all the people who do regularly support us. I nearly know you at this stage. You're so good with the comments and the support of the work we do here. And I just want to thank you at this stage and welcome to any new subscribers, particularly if you've stayed to the end of the podcast and this is of value what you're hearing. Bye for now. Please take care.